Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege we have of meeting in your house, Lord, a place that you have provided for us. Place, my God, which you have invited us to come together to worship you, to receive knowledge, understanding, correction in various ways, correction concerning our understanding, and ways of life and all those things, Lord. We know that here is a place it can be found if we are faithful. We know that you are faithful. And so we believe, Lord, this morning that you will help us to know the things of God which have been revealed to us in this hour, and also our conduct and our faith concerning them. So we invoke your blessing, Lord, upon lip and ear this morning and upon hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, our previous study of the Elijah ministry, we stated the message would be in three divisions. Number one, the necessity for Elijah's advent. Number two, what that ministry is. And number three, what the ministry accomplishes. And our reading, of course, was found in Malachi, the fourth chapter, with verses 5 and 6 as the text. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grup the calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That, of course, is verse 1, that he's going to do it. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite utterly, that's in the sense of annihilation, the earth with a curse. Now, the text, of course, was the sending of Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Now, in verses 1 to 3, before behold the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grup the calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now you can see here in verses 1 to 3 that there are two groups of people under review as to the end time disposition of the entire world. And point B, we next see that great and dreadful day of the Lord in verse 5 is actually verses 1 and 3. Verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And that great and dreadful day is the earth will burn as an oven, the wicked shall be burnt up with it, they shall be like ashes under the soles of the feet of the righteous. Now this is a repeat or confirmation of Isaiah 66, verses 15 to 16. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Point C, we note that this scenario of both Malachi and Isaiah is not the complete picture dealing with that time. A completer picture is found over in the book of Joel, chapter 2, 30 and 31. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And this is repeated also in the book of Acts and confirmed to us for the end time, chapter 2:19-20. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before or immediately previous to that great and notable day of the Lord. Point D, that this is the sixth seal of the great tribulation cannot be denied. Over in Revelation chapter 6. And verses 12 to 17, and I beheld, when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now this explains how the moon's turned into blood, and the sun into darkness. Tells you it's going to be by a horrible earthquake. And evidently this will be of such gigantic proportions as to eclipse anything that a volcano could do. I don't understand it, I just believe it. Now, it says also here, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when it is shaken with of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, now watch, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Now you know that that great day of utter destruction by fire is near when you see these things happen. See this? So therefore this is more of a complete picture. Now point E, or 5. The culmination, which is the great and dreadful day of utter burning, is also set forth in Revelation chapter 19:11-16, and you will see how this lines perfectly with what we saw in Isaiah. And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now this is what the kings of the earth were fearful of, because they didn't want to face him. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head from many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. You think perhaps at this time they are so confused with their religiosity, they are so confused with names, that they didn't even know what name to call him anymore. As well as he himself only knowing what name he had. Brother Branham said there was a change in name coming. But you can see here that their condition is so deplorable that they have found themselves so wrong, and there's no answer anywhere, that they would also wonder. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, his own blood, by the way, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. See, that was back in Isaiah. And with it he should smite the nations and rule them with the rod of iron. And that's when he breaks them with the rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierce wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now you notice he leaves neither, rather this coincides perfectly over here with Malachi, the fourth chapter, verse 1, where it says he leaves them neither root nor branch. In other words, there is no further lineage or mankind left upon the earth at this particular time. Point F, we have established a proven chronology of events. One, there is a great tribulation which we know of its 3.5 years of havoc and chaos before the utter destruction. So therefore, there's 3.5 years of great tribulation under the sixth seal. And number two, there is then utter destruction which will demand a renovation for the millennium. Point G, we also see a most remarkable extension of the grace of God to some of the people. For in verse 2, there is a people who miss both the tribulation and the burning, and they are described in this verse. You'll notice it over here in Malachi, the 4th chapter, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, Now notice those over there don't know the first thing about the name. Hear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now rising with healing in his wings signifies the quick flight of God doing something for the people, and that healing will have to be spiritual because they do not enter into either the tribulation or the day of judgment of the wrath of God. And it says, because of this, you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this. And you will notice that though they do escape destruction and the wrath of that great day, they will be a part of that great day. And that's what exactly said in Revelation 19. He's coming with his saints. Now you follow, all these scriptures dovetail perfectly. Now, point H. We are now ready to receive a most marvelous truth in chapter 4. It is that there are actually two comings of Jehovah set forth in the word of Malachi 4 and substantiated by Malachi 3, which I will touch later on. Wherein we see that in one coming, Jehovah does not smite, but in another coming he does smite. And that to utter destruction. Now that's the first thing to get your mind settled on and begin to understand, because the casual reading does not give you that emphatic understanding. Now this lines perfectly with all other scripture and substantiates the doctrine of the appearing and the coming, of which Jehovah has a part in both. Now you couldn't have it any other way, or the scripture wouldn't line up. There's no use trying to propagate a doctrine of the New Testament, of the appearing and the coming, and then find something different in the Old Testament. It isn't going to work. See? Point I. We will now proceed to prove these two comings. First notice, and make sure that you get this. In Malachi 4, 6 and B, lest I come and smite the earth utterly with a curse, has nothing to do with Malachi 4, 1 and 3. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, and we'll take you back to Revelation on that later, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, that day is coming. See? And shall leave them neither root nor branch. And in verse 3, they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I do this. Now that has nothing at all to do with where he says, lest I come and smite. Because 4 and 6 is optional. It's optional. It could or it couldn't. It will or won't. Depending. But in this other, there is no way you're going to miss it. And of course, this coincides perfectly with Matthew 23, when it says, fill you up the cup of iniquity, because there's a day coming when I'm going to demand from the blood of righteous Abel to every last saint that has been destroyed, I'm going to demand it of you and you're going to die for it. And that is not the white throne judgment. It's a great and dreadful day of the Lord. So in number 6, there is a variable. It is optional. But when you deal with verse 1, no way are they the same. Jehovah comes in his great and dreadful day, and it cannot be circumvented by Elijah or even by Jesus Christ nor by a perfect people, if there were such. See? This is not in the category back there in the day of Sodom, where if there were 10 righteous people, God's wrath would have passed over. See, that was optional. But the 10 righteous weren't there. There were, how many? Not even 4. One was halfway righteous, and the two girls were semi-semi, 1/4 righteous, and Mama missed the boat entirely. But you know something? God did not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And the bride was back there safely, typified in Abraham. So therefore we see there is a day coming which cannot be circumvented though Elijah comes. Though Jesus Christ himself pleads. So all the saints rose from the dead and had one mass meeting. And said, oh God, spare the earth. In no way it'll be spared. See? But the other has a providential, a proviso, an alternative, a hope. You follow? All right. Nothing can be done about that day. In verses 1 and 3, and also in 5, it is coming. God is coming, and He is coming in wrath. Now, we go back to verses 2 and 3. But you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up. Doesn't say one thing about root and branch being destroyed here. Doesn't say one thing about them bearing any problem. You'll be as calves of the stall, in other words, pampered and taken care of in a place of refuge. And you'll tread down the wicked. For they'll be as ashes under your feet in the day that I do this. Thus saith the Lord. Revelation 19 is coming to pass. I know some people are kind of squeamish and they say, well, I don't want to be in that group that would tread down anybody. Well, hallelujah, I'll take your place any day of the week. Mind interesting your little squeamish ideas of love. Keep it. And remember, verse 3, the day that they tread this down is Revelation 19, 11 to 16, which I read, and also Revelation 6, 12 to 17, which I also read. Now, notice also, in Revelation 6, 12 to 17, which is the sixth seal, the 3.5 year tribulation also ordained and must come, and there is no way out, for Elijah cannot stop this. Thus we see that Jehovah comes, and he does smite, period, not a question mark, and nothing can be done about it. That he comes to the bride before the great and dreadful day of the Lord is set forth in the New Testament, as we well know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to chapter 5 to verse 11. So, I would not have ignorant brethren concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that thus of the Lord, we which are alive and remain, unto the presence of the Lord shall not go before them that are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It tells you how you're going to be well fed like calves of the stall and miss the great tribulation. It says because God himself is going to be present. You see, therefore he is coming. And there's an alternative. You can be part of his presence and part of the bride. Or you can shuck it. I'll show you that really belongs to the elect, but we just put that in there because remember there is a moral bias. The man has a choice. All right. The Lord himself shall descend him with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Now if he's going to descend and do this, he's got to come to do it. But he's got to come and do the other. So there's two comings here in Malachi. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised there's nobody under high heaven preaching that but the people in this message. I've never seen that in the book anywhere, and I'm pretty close to most of the texts and the or have been to the theologians. With the voice of the archangel, trumpet, God in the dead, and Christ shall rise first. He's got to be there, so they raise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that tells you where you go after he descends. The Holy Spirit then takes you to be where the incarnation takes place. As Brother Branham said, God does not incarnate himself till this time when he's ready to come back with the bride. That's when God presents to himself the glorious bride, because God slips into the body, which is his glorious body, and he got all the other brides in the same eternal glory. See? Now, wherefore, comfort one of these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a child, a woman with child, they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, he's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the judgment coming. He said, you're privy to that which will get you out of it. You are children of night and not children, and children of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of and hope for salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now he lets you know, and he's explaining in chapter 5 what lies in chapter 4, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven and become present. And this is the time that the bride is able to escape the tribulation and the wrath of God, which is that mighty day at the very end of the tribulation.
See?
Now, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together unto him. Now, and we notice especially in verses 4, 16, and 17, which I have already showed you, mentions the two aspects of Godhead. The Holy Spirit himself descending in order to raise the dead and to do a work in the bride whereby she shall be transformed in order that that same Holy Spirit may take the bride up to the very presence of Jesus, who is there seated on the throne of his Father's glory, so that the saints may now crown him as her king and husband. And God himself, Holy Spirit, now enters into that one. And he becomes, and then he, God has incarnated himself again, so that they can come back and take over the earth. Now, by now you can surely see when and why Elijah must come. He is to be here at the time Jehovah comes for the bride. And this Elijah's ministry is a must, an absolute necessity to keep judgment from the bride and all else, lest it would happen to her, as is seen in Revelation 20 and in chapter 11. Now this is what I'm looking at here. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In other words, when that presence of God comes, God demands something that the ordinary intelligence and understanding and wisdom of even the spirit-filled people cannot comprehend until the hour it is given to them to comprehend it. And that is that God must have Elijah come. There's been so many spooks about it, and so many scarecrows, that nobody wants to even hear about it. They get away from that stuff. Then get away from God. And get prepared for the great tribulation and wrath to come. Because evidently this one must do something, which will compensate for whatever is wrong. We'll talk about that later. At that particular time, so that she can stand in the presence of God. Now our text was Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And of course, verse 6 is the one we talk about Elijah. It tells exactly what he must do. And we might not understand what that is, but he will do it anyway. Now a lot of people get stumbled there. They figure they've got to be so privy to God, and that individually, that if they don't hear from God, ain't nobody going to hear from God. Well, drop dead. What makes you think you can hear from God? I figure I've literally heard a voice within me speak as the voice of the Holy Spirit, not speaking audibly, because that could never happen to me, because I am not a prophet, even though I've heard it just standing right still like a voice crying out there. That is not it at all. Only a prophet can hear the little voice of God. But he could take my auditory nerve and play upon it, set up those vibrations which my brain would translate, and I would hear him. That's exactly what he must have done. Now, I can stand here and tell you what he told me has come to pass, therefore I believe it is God working in each house. But so what? God doesn't have to talk to me and tell me anything. See, people get scared off right away when it comes to Elijah. And they figure if it's not written out there right in front of their faces so that they know, then all right, there's nothing to it. But the Word of God tells us that Elijah has to come and he's going to do something. And the beautiful part is that what he does will be sufficient. It will give the extension of grace to a bride, and only a bride, so that she can abide in his presence. All right. Look again what it says in Malachi. 4th chapter. 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now remember, that great and dreadful day of the Lord is when the earth is going to burn like an oven. And God's holy saints, with God incarnated, are coming back with flames of fire. And the wicked, the proud ones, are going to be nothing but ashes. Choo! They go just like that. And they'll be under the feet of those that are with King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Elijah's going to come before that great and dreadful day. And the scripture says he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. It said, first of all, of course, here he's going to turn the hearts of the children, of the father's children. Now, we instantly note, number one, we instantly note that the first phrase or phase. Now, notice I use them both. The first phrase is a phase, which is a period of time. Now, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children is already credited to John the Baptist as the Elijah in the days of the flesh of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, the Word of God, and the Word was God, only made by Him. And then it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All right. And the world knew Him not. They certainly did not. And it took John the Baptist to tell who He was. To point Him out. All right. John the Baptist is the Elijah in the days of the flesh of the Word of God. And you'll notice that over here in Luke 1, 13 to 17, the very words of Malachi. And the angel telling him, fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard, thy wife Elizabeth bear thee a son, thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God, and John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now it tells you right there what turning the hearts of the fathers to the children is. It sets it forth. Now, also you'll notice in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and in verse 7 to 14, and we really don't need to read that, Jesus admits to John the Baptist being the Elijah for that hour if they could receive it. Now you see, they couldn't receive it because they're all geared to believe in Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They couldn't see two of them. They couldn't see two coming. So all they could see was one. Now he said, if you can get it, you're going to see something here. And when he explained it, they still didn't get it. You know why? Because they didn't want to get it. They didn't want to get it because they had nothing to want to get it. Because God said to Jesus, said to those Pharisees, he said, you ain't got no place in you for the Word. So that takes care of that. Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear. But he couldn't because he had no understanding. Then in Matthew 17, when they said, he thought Elijah must truly first come, and he said, Elijah must truly first come before the kingdom comes on earth, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. But I want you to know he's already come. There are two phases to it. Schofield caught that. Schofield must have had the Holy Ghost. Now, this fact of John being Elijah in A.D. 1 to 32 does not obviate the end time Elijah of Matthew 17, 10 and 11, where Jesus said Elijah must truly first come and restore all things. And the same thing without the name of Elijah is reiterated in the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the middle of the verse 19. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, it lets you know a certain revival is going to break forth like a fresh breath of air upon a stale atmosphere when the world and the churches have gone stale. God begins to breathe and a revival breaks forth. Even he shall send Jesus, what was before appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. And it tells you right there is going to be a presence. There is going to be a revival.
There's going to be something that God Himself is going to do. And then it says, at that time you can expect Elijah to be on the scene. Because though God Himself is coming to coming back to this earth for that great day and a takeover, things must be restored through somebody. And Jesus said, restoration comes by Elijah. Now, restoration comes by Elijah before His kingdom comes back to earth, which He designated in Matthew 17. Then whoever brings restoration here before this same Jesus comes back is the same person of Matthew 17, which is Elijah. Now, let's face it, Elijah was there with Jesus on Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah was there with Jesus on the earth. And Elijah must be here in the presence of God when God Himself comes. Because He comes. And we saw that absolutely in the appearing of 1 Thessalonians. Now, remember, no way can Malachi 4:6 be abrogated. Elijah has to come. Now we notice that the second phase and phrase, turn the heart of the children to the Father. But please notice, now watch carefully what I'm going to tell you and try to pick up my understanding of this scripture. Now let us please note, whatever the fathers accomplished to be an effect in the children have to come back to that position and effect of the end time. You follow me? If somebody had to come to work out something in the lives of the people, then to be turned back is to come to the same position and the effect that was turned by that person because it's the same spirit. Now the reason I'm saying this is to give you the key of what turning the hearts of the fathers to the children were. If we can determine what happened under John at the presence of the Lord, we can expect the same thing at the end when the same spirit of Elijah and the same God is present. Amen. See? Remember, God turned to the Gentiles. It doesn't change God one bit. If we are not worshiping the same God of the Old Testament, if Jesus of the New is not Jehovah of the Old, we are wrong. Now, we go back to Luke 1:16 and 17. Now, you see, I'm taking you rapidly over a resume here. And it must be done this way. All right. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord God. Now, notice it does not say all of Israel shall be turned. It says many shall be turned. See? Now, you'll notice here the prophet was on earth. Already when God appears, because this one was to go before him, and he was born 6 months ahead of him. And he lived till about A.D. 32, when he went off the scene, because Christ must increase while John would decrease. Now, notice, verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Now, who are those many? I'm glad you asked, because I want to tell you. It's the last verse, part of verse 17. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Many in Scripture always talk about the election. Many always describe the election. I should have got my Scripture lined up here from the book of Romans and showed you, oh, good heavens. I don't know if I got a good enough brain to find it for you. I got good enough brain not to find it for you, I can tell you then. I'm trying to see the very word many over here, but I can't pick it out of the 9th chapter concerning the fact that all Israel's not Israel. And then they go on to tell you exactly who they are that are called. And then you'll find in other places the very word many, and over there in the book of John the same. I'll get it for you later on. Trace the word many down for you so you'll understand. The many are the elect to make ready a people prepared. And you notice the people are made ready who are already prepared. Now that word preparation there can't be too hard to understand, because we got it over here in the book of Romans again, and it says here, if I can find it now, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, which is the prepared vessels which are the many. So when you say here, who's he going to turn to God? He's going to turn the election to God. You see, I didn't know the election were turned away. Well, you're not very smart. You see, you're putting too much in what you think lies within the atonement. If you don't watch out, you'll be a hard shell where everybody's saved and nobody's not saved. Antinomianist, rather. Get to the place where who worries about grace? Who worries about anything? See? You gotta know. It's like according to the scripture, men have eternal life. The things of God must be according to scripture. So therefore we see verse 16 is the same as the last little phrase in verse 17. Now number 3, turning the heart is explained. Because the word K in the Greek is not always a conjunction. It is used many times. In fact, in my understanding, it's used more times as a preposition, which throws phrases into apposition, which means one phrase means the same thing as the other. Now, and he shall go now to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedience to the wisdom of the just. Who's the just? Jesus. See? Oh, he got a picture here then. What is John the Baptist doing? See? Now, notice. The word heart means understanding. The word father is a progenitor. Children means builders of the house, or they that carry on the name. So therefore, the fathers are those who God is going to use in order to set up a household of faith. But the children get carried away from it. They got to get turned back to it. And you notice the children here, which are builders of the house, in the Greek are the Heliothesians, which are the place for adopted sons. That's the election. Now, did I lose any of you? I'm sorry. The thing is, I have to dedicate a message to my good buddies here because after all these years, they can't really follow me. And I'm showing the whole book at you this morning. I got to preach hard and fast, but do you understand what I'm saying now? Turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. Who are the fathers? Who are the children? What is turning the heart? Their understanding was a failure. Because it says you're even the disobedient. And that word disobedient, I found out, is not somebody in direct disobedience or rebellion to a command. It is a person who doesn't understand. There's no revelation on it. So therefore, this one, John the Baptist, was there to give a revelation to the people what was necessary for that hour. See? Now, let's face it. If John had not been there, they would have missed him. I brought you a sermon over a year ago on we have seen his star in the west and those three men coming and following that star. If it had not been for that star, they would have missed him. You see? Now, people just don't want to understand that God uses means, even with election. You're ordained to be born again. But it's come by reason of preaching. You say, well, let's face it. If God wants to be born again, he doesn't need a preacher. That's where you're wrong. That's where they're wrong here. They say, hallelujah, if I'm glad, I'm going to make it. No, sir, if you're going to make the rapture, if you're going to make standing here the tree of life, you're going to have John the Baptist or the Elijah of this hour, whether you want it or not. See, that's what people are all messed up in their thinking. They don't want to accede to what God has said. The same, that's where Eve got all messed up. And Satan came by and said, surely you won't die. I'll tell you how to bring forth life. And you'll have a good time doing it too. Ever since then, we've suffered for a good time too. Children are born of sexual desire. But you hold a little baby dying in your arms, or even a grown son dying in your arms. It's a hell on earth. Getting off that word, my brother, my sister, is what's done it. And John had to bring them back. Now, the children, the placed one, the adopted, the elect, the many, must come back today to what the fathers passed on to the children, which was an understanding.
and upon this I'll build my church. See? Which is the revelation. Now, it starts with the revelation. The revelation says, there's one among you, I don't know. I'll spot him when the time comes. Now, secondly, we can make this clear by John's own explanation in chapter 3, 22 to 36. So we go. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized, and John was baptizing and even near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And John was not yet cast into prison. Then arose a question between some of the John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. And how in the world could John the Baptist impart anything to the non-elect? That's why the church doesn't know the first thing about this and doesn't want to know the first thing about it, and only the elect will get it. The scripture distinctly says the whole world, Israel, sought for it, but the election got it. You can seek God all you want, but unless he sought you out, you're finished. Now, you yourself bear with me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. Right. Listen, he was just 6 months ahead of Jesus in coming to this earth. John was here 30 and one half years, as far as I know, what theology is supposed to, and the scripture is supposed to say about a man becoming 30 years of age before he can teach. John was 30 and one half years when Jesus was 30 and appeared in the sea. They were there all the time. But Jesus did not make himself known after his presence. But from the moment that he was spotted, he came more and more into the church. Until he took over. You caught something there, I hope, because that's what Brother Bannon said about the Holy Ghost coming more and more into the church. See, though he came back in 1933, he did not come more and more into the church. That's why he got this mixed up hogwash down here in Fairburn. Trying to say that some preacher down there got the idea, because he said it is right, that Brother Branham only got the Holy Ghost at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, July 25th, 1965, hogwash and double hogwash and the life in the pit of hell. Amen. You talk about such credit. How could God give the man a seal if he hadn't been full of the Holy Ghost, the prophet of God? John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Halo over the boy's head. I'm going to burn up with this nonsense. Be sweet, Brother Bill. Go ahead, go be sweet for me. Hey, listen, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now watch, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. John the Baptist stood there and heard the voice of God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. The last day, John the Baptist Elijah will have to hear the voice for the bridegroom, or this doth not come. Therefore, my joy is fulfilled. The last day, Elijah, hearing the voice of God for the bridegroom, has the ministry of his life fulfilled in a spectacular, joyous joy. Because he knows he's heard for her. And brings her the word. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now John is still talking, not Jesus. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now he's telling you, I've been listening to a voice. The same voice that he said when you baptize out there, John, and you're baptizing in Jordan, and you see that one coming, and the Spirit of God descends on him, that's the one. The same voice was in that one he pointed out. Okay. Now, that voice that was in the flesh that John heard before it got in the flesh, you tell me that William Brown couldn't hear that same voice? You'd have to be sick. The proof is right here. You tell me when he's speaking from heaven, somebody's not going to hear. Who's going to hear at the end time? The friend of the bridegroom. Who was the friend of God back there in the early lecture? Abraham was the friend of God. I know he'll instruct his kids right. I know he'll do it right. God took a little man, William Branham, and made him a friend. So you bring the last time message, opening the seals. Which will put the bride into the rapture before it's all over. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receives his testimony. Now, that's true. No man, period, could. But certain ones can. The elect. For it says the next verse, he that receiveth, he that hath received his testimony, hath set to his seal that God is true.
See?
Foundation of God standeth true, having this seal, the Lord knoweth him as his. Set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now he's talking about Jesus, who he has identified, of whom he had the revelation, of whom he heard the voice, and now that voice is in him, and that voice that once spoke on earth now speaks from heaven. Right? I didn't give you anything I made up. I just quoted Scripture. See? Now, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son, everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Now look at that wrath of God can be placed in two places. The white throne and the great day we're approaching. And who is it that comes back on the great day of the wrath, the terrible wrath of God, the dreadful, terrible day? Is Jesus himself, incarnated God. Now he tells you right here, he that believes. So I believe on this Scripture. I believe on this. Do you believe on him that speaketh? Ah, he doesn't talk anymore. Well, you just kissed eternal life goodbye. Thirdly, John gave another record. John 1:25-34. Why do you baptize if you're not Christ and Elijah, you're that prophet? Who that prophet was, don't ask me. John said, I baptize the water. There stands one among you don't know. He it is who's coming after me, is put forth before me, whose shoe latch that I can't. I'm too unworthy to unloose. These things were done at Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John baptized. Next day, Jesus seen John come and said, John said, Behold, Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes the man which is preferred before me, before he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Wherefore I am come baptized in water. Now, how in the world could he be before John the Baptist? As John the Baptist was 6 months older than he was. Talking about God in the man. He was before him. In the beginning was the Word is made flesh. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending like from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize water said the same unto me, upon whom do you see the Spirit descending, remaining on him, the same as he that baptized the Holy Ghost. And I saw him bear record, this is the Son of God. Now he said, look, this is the one that is the Son of God. The Holy Ghost came, nobody else saw it. I saw it, I made witness, I told you. Okay? Let's go to Acts 10:38 now. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. How he went about doing good, healing all, to oppress the devil, for God was with him. Now he said, Jesus said concerning John, and I'll read it to you, I guess, later on, concerning the fact that John witnessed to me, but I've got a greater witness. And right here you can see John witnessed to what nobody saw and nobody could understand, but he pointed it. Then Jesus went about being vindicated by God himself. And over here in John 15:24, if I had not done the works of other men, did they not sin, but now they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Now we go back to John 5, the one I was telling you about. 33 plus, you sent unto John, he bear witness unto the truth, because it was the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light. You were willing for a season. While it tickled your fancy. While it went along with what you could guess at. While it went along with what you could presume. But the minute it struck Peter in fire, he said, get out of my hair.
Okay?
But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, that bear witness to me, and that the Father has sent me. What about the work yet once more he speaketh from heaven?
Oh, well, Brother Dale, that's an obscure thing, and we don't believe that happens, you see, because we got the truth, have you?
The Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You've neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent you don't believe. You wouldn't believe that John the Baptist pointed out something that you couldn't see. Yet it was proved what was there, as Brother Branham said the same thing, that Cameron does not take psychology. And they still wouldn't believe.
Now listen, let's get this fact. A fact. If you have got to have the life of God, God himself, and the resurrection proven to you, you aren't a part of God and a part of the resurrection to begin with.
And if there came a time when we were so away in our understanding, and I'll read this in Hosea later on, that the thing was a mockery, that God was forced to change our thinking, our understanding, and we turned our back on it, then say I'm a part of God, and a part of the resurrection is a spirit of hell. Because Jesus said, if you ever get behind that pillar of fire, you don't come out saying that Jesus is Beelzebub.
Or the prophet was of the devil.
All right.
Father himself a witness.
Search the scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify me. What if the testimony said concerning the end time? Behold, I come not to smite, but to deliver.
Well, how are we going to know that you're there?
Why, he said, that's easy. I've laid up my Bible.
The elect always have and always will know.
For the elect cannot be deceived.
For we go to Acts 3 again. Verses 19 to 26, and we're talking about turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. When times of refreshing shall come, the presence of the Lord, a revival, a fresh breath. Even he shall send Jesus. God shall send Jesus the Christ which is appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things. God spoke with the mouth of all the holy prophets as the word began. For most of the truth is unto the fathers. The prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatever he shall say unto you. Alright, listen. The prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in you. You're going to hear in all things. And it'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets and Samuel, those that follow after, many spoken thee have foretold these, likewise foretold these days. Listen, you are the children of the prophets, and that word is heliothesia, the Greek adopted. The Greek is adoption. Alright, who are the fathers? The prophets. Who are the children? The seed of the word of the prophets. Then what understanding did the fathers give to the children? The revelation of the word of the prophet. What must they come back to? That same revelation. Here it is right here.
The prophet shall the Lord your God raise up in you. Now let's watch it.
Unto you first, having raised up his son. That's the Holy Spirit manifesting. At that time, precisely,
what he did in the earth, proving that he was that one in the resurrection. And if he was raised up first, it means there's got to be at least a second, if not a third and a fourth. Now, when does he raise him up again? The hour of the end time. And it says, this time, if you don't listen, is utter destruction, because the word destroy here, look in your margin, utterly destroyed. Malachi 4, in fact.
Malachi 1 and 3. Revelation 19, 11 to 6. Revelation 6, 12 to 17. Isaiah 66, 15, 16. Go on down the line. Joel 2, 30 to 32.
Okay.
unto you first. God raised him up. We can see exactly who the fathers are and who the children are. We can see the Alpha and Omega principle. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes. I love the Alpha and Omega principle. I'll stand and live and die on it. I know people don't enjoy it like I do. That's because they didn't discover it. I didn't, the prophets teach it. Listen, the third chapter, 14, I know that whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. The never-changing God acts in the never-changing way. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requires that which is past. In other words, He'll do it again. He demands it of Himself. Raised Him up and showed Him. And He raised Him again and showed Him. And they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, because the flesh of the Holy Ghost is the Word of Almighty God. This generation has found one. Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right. For a moment, let's go back to the original Elijah. The original Elijah, by the way, is found over here in 1 Kings 18:36 and so on. My throat's so good I can yell loud. Better ask the Lord to give me a bad throat again. However, I'm glad your drums can take it, and I'm glad my throat can take it. Okay. And it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, and that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. So this does not refer turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. This has to do with turning the children's heart back to the fathers. And the idea was, at this particular time, Israel was in idolatry, in a mixed situation. It was not a pure idolatry, as though they were idolatrous, as many people understand idolatry, but they're in it just the same. It was a sort of a hybridized deal. They had not the true knowledge of God. For it says here, this is the hour that they will know that you're God, and the hearts turned back. Now you see, that's what was in the days of John the Baptist. This is God in human flesh. The pointing out. And the hearts were turned back, were turned. Now, we go to Hosea. That's right after the book of Daniel, I believe. Chapter 4, 1 to 15. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, you go to a prophet like Hosea, go to Israel, and they say, shut up, what are you talking about? We don't know God. Oh, I can take you right down to our temple there. And we've got the scrolls. We've got the law. We've got the commandments. We've got everything. We've got the Talmud. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of heaven, yea, the fish of the sea, are also taken away. This is the day we're living in, brother, sister. The breakdown of the world ecological system. Yet let no man strive to reprove another, for thy people are they that strive with the priest. You talk about arguing, the few argues knows all about it. There, that's right, amongst us. Therefore thou shalt fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I'll destroy thy mother. The old whore. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of God. They don't know Him. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. And that thou shalt no more be priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I'll forget thy children. As they increase, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. That's true. More people, more sin. More cattle, more mess in the crib. Deed up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. There shall be like people like priests. You wonder why the church is a mess? Examine the ministry. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel of their stocks and their staff departed unto them. Declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredom hath caused them to err. And they have gone a-hurrying from under their God. In other words, they put themselves in complete bondage away from the freedom which is in Christ. They sacrifice upon the top of mountains. They burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow there is good. Therefore your children shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Now he's talking about the spiritual thing more than the physical, though it manifests in the physical. And I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice their harlots. Therefore the people that do not understand shall fall. Now he said, God said, I'm going to just let them go and do it. To the day of my wrath. Though thou Israel play the harlot, yet let not Judah thin, nor come unto me into Gilgal, nor either up to Beth-Aven, nor swear that the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Bishop Lye explained that. He said that's not a good phrase at all. He said when a lamb needs a big place to feed in, that shows there's poverty right there. Shouldn't need a big place, should need a little place. In other words, there's no food. God's not just that you go pick here and pick there, you'll be a mess, you won't get anything. Ephraim has joined your idol, see? Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They committed whoredom continually. Your rulers were shamed to love. Give ye. Oh, you talk about America, her lovers. God, what a mess America's in. Just like Israel. God said to Israel, he said, usually a man pays a harlot to have intercourse. See, he usually does. But he said, you pay people to have it with you. America's done the same thing. Giving away her shirt for what? So fear of angels can kick her in the teeth. What she asked for it. Yep, ever since, I hate to say it, but ever since Eisenhower, America's had a plan to let Russia take her over. Russia's not going to take America over. She's going to blast her plumb off the continent. Doesn't want it. All right, here's your condition. No knowledge of God. The same conditions are today in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14, where the Laodicean church is. Thus saith the Amen. I know your works, you're neither hot or cold. I would you were hot or cold. Now they're like Israel. They're not completely in idolatry, but they're messed up. They've hybridized. So they're not beaten at lukewarm, neither hot or cold, be on the mouth. Because you say, I'm rich, increased with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, you're rich and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And when she shows her nakedness, it proves she's in adultery. She's a whore from top to bottom. But that's what nakedness is all about. She doesn't even know it. And she cares less. And who needs Elijah? Where's God? I count you to buy me gold side in the fire. You may be rich. White lambs, you may be clothed. The shame of your nakedness do not appear. In other words, she's caught hands down in her adultery. Point your eye with eyes have. That doesn't mean you got it and need to go out and get some. But you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and change your mind. This is the mind. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, will not come and supper, and he with me. Kicked outside the church. But to him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in my throne as I am overcome and set down my Father in his throne. He said, I'm going to have a throne one day. I don't have it. I'm sitting in my Father's throne right now. Brother Brown said, he ripped the seals off, climbed his Father's throne. He that hath an ear and hear what the Spirit says to the church. All right. The same condition exists. Revelation 18, 1 to 8. You will see the same thing as in Hosea. Another angel came down, great power, lighted the earth with his glory, and Babylon the great has fallen, become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. I told you when they turned this message down, they would go to spiritism, and it said so. I didn't know this minute that was in the Bible. Just like old Judas, the habitation of devil, you got the same thing in the church. All nations are drunk of the wine, they're after fornication. In other words, her fornication that brings wrath. The mighty great day of Almighty God at the end time is due to fornication, which is spiritual. Gone into adultery, gone into idolatry, committed with the kings of the earth, merchants of the earth, waxed rich the abundance of delicacies. And that's true. Everywhere the good missionaries went, the merchant bunks came right behind them and sold the whole thing down the drain, commercialized it until there's nothing out there anymore but a hell on earth. Every Garden of Eden has been desolated. Every decent soul has come under the bombardment of the wrath, or the rottenness of sin, rather. And I heard another voice saying from heaven, come out of her, my people. The voice from heaven. Now John the Baptist said, he that is from above is above all, and that one from above all was standing there. And there's a voice from heaven today. It's uttering itself upon earth. And there's no doubt about it. It utters itself here upon earth. And it says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Now notice, the plagues come before the day of wrath. How then can a bride be in the great tribulation? For her sins are reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Rewarded you, and she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, that her cup also she hath built to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much she said, and said in her heart, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she said in her heart, I said, a queen am and no widow, and shall see no sorrow. In other words, she sits there and she doesn't give a rip about the one that's supposed to be her husband. She said, I'll take it over. And that's what the women have done today. I've got another statistic for what's happened to women. Now, I'm not against you women. Get this flat. But let's get this type right down flat. Brother Branham said, you know, I still laugh at him, as I told you. And he said, the poor man sitting at home with the tears coming out of his eyes because he's there with the kiddies and his wife was run off. And I'd say, ha ha to myself, Brother Branham, you're pretty old-fashioned. You better get wise. He was prophesying. It's come to pass that more women leave home and their kids than men do. And now the women themselves have made a poll around America and other so-called civilized nations, and they have come up with this most disgusting fact. And now I'm going to use very bad language, but it's very common language. Women are far bitchier than men. Far more perverse. Far tougher than the men. And the women that found out were aghast. Because they said, we thought women, we, had a tender nature. I'm not fussing women, I'm just telling what's going on. Types the church. That's why the church can kill every one of us and jump up and down saying, hallelujah, doing it. I'm just quoting the book. Just quoting the book. You talk about a mess. Therefore, her plagues. Queen sitting there. Where's the king? Who needs him? She does. But you think she doesn't. No, because there's going to be a man sitting there they're going to call the Prince of Peace. That they figure will bring peace to this earth and they'll crown him and make him king. I'm not a widow, but she don't worry. She will be one in a hurry. She already is. She doesn't know it. Not, she's not a widow. Let's face it. She's a divorced harlot is what she is. Because 2 Thessalonians is a divorce. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be burned utterly with fire. 3.5 years tribulation, and the day of the Lord burning red. All right. Verse 8, burning with fire, corresponds with Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, the great day of the Lord, chapter 18 and 4, come out of her, my people. Revelation 18, 4, corresponds with Matthew 25. And 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom come to meet him. Come on out. Or what? Out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. Come out of the search system. Come out of the whole mess. Now, who do you think is saying that? The ministry of Elijah. This fulfills John 3, which I read, 28 and 30. Ye yourselves bear witness to me. I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth here of him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. All right? Go back to Matthew 25 just a second. I want to see something here. Come up. Behold him. They arose, trimmed their lamps, went down the road. They came to the marriage supper.
the wise got in. Then the others came and said, Lord, Lord, open us. And he answered and said, I don't know you. You should know his mother, don't know you anymore. Now, when does he say that? That's not the white throne, that's right here. Who's talking now?
Come out to me, the voice of the friend of the bridegroom. I used to know you as my wife, don't know you anymore. Whose voice is that? Bridegroom. You say, well, that's to the wicked. Yeah, what to the righteous? Come, ye blessed. Inherit the kingdom prepared.
He's still talking. But he's got to have someone help him. Because he does not incarnate in flesh here. As the prophet said, only too well, if someone should appear on this earth with nail print, forget it. That's an imposter, Pentecostal bait. Nothing to do with you. On top of that, the true knowledge of God which we read of, missing. We find that in Malachi as well as Hosea, don't worry. The true knowledge of God, which is one God, and correct baptism in His name has been missing. We can see that it is an age of spiritual blindness, Laodicean energy. As we read in Revelation 3, Christ is outside the church, but ready to be revealed to the bride by Elijah and confirmed by God Himself. Or Alpha's not Omega. Luke 17:20 to 37. Now this sounds like I'm doing a lot of repeating, but you're getting a lot of added material. The repeat is necessary. 20. And when he was the man of the Pharisees, now watch something tremendous here. When the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes, but not so you can see it. It comes and there's no outward show or evidence. Many shall say, lo here or lo there. See, for behold, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Now you hold your finger right there. Let me see if I can find what I want back here for you. Now, Matthew 24, what shall be the sign of thy presence? And Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. See? Now, over here, 26, wherefore if they say, behold, in the desert go not forth, behold, in the secret chamber believe in not. Then the evidence was, as the light travels from the east to the west, a burning and a shining. And remember, John was a burning and a shining, pointing out that great light. So the burning and the shining will come again at the end to point out that same great light. Now, the rest will leave, going back to Luke. Behold, the kingdom is in the midst of you. Your midst. Now notice, the same words are said concerning him who is present as said concerning the kingdom. Now don't tell me there's such a thing as a king without a kingdom. Now remember, he came unto his own and his own received him not. The same one comes again unto his own and he owns it all. The king and the kingdom is right there amongst us, right here today. The fullness of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the bride. For it says, in the days of the fourth kingdom, the saints shall possess it. Now I've got news here. We own it right now. We own it right now. Ever since he came, we own it right now. You don't want it though. Because there's a clause. We can't take it over though we own it. Until it's purified. Because we have no part with the wicked. This kingdom is going to be such that Satan himself can wander around. bellowing like a lost baby because he can't get to anyone, bound by a chain of circumstance. And his disciples said the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and shall not see it. And they shall say, see here or see there, go not after them. Now that was not in the days of Jesus and the disciples, it's in our day. But first must suffer many things, be rejected. It tells you it wasn't in his day. He's got to suffer and be rejected. Then it says, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be again in the days of the Son of Man. Now he said, you're going to want it, but you're not going to get it, but it's going to repeat way down at the end of the road. Alpha is Omega. Okay? Therefore, Brother Branham could say that Jesus had more success in the ministry he gave him. And we saw God manifest in human flesh. Not that William Branham was God. No, sir, we saw God manifest. That's a different story. See, that's like Punch and Judy. A man stands behind you, wiggles everything. How do you think Brother Branham was? He said, that's me to do. Not me to say this thing, I'm just a voice. Raise the grand day and marriage and so on. Same day it rains. Thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Tells you. When that kingdom starts to come on earth. Now remember, Brother Branham said he's coming more and more into the church. And he said when you see a hand as a shadow, and that hand goes through the wall like this more and more, the hand and the wall, the shadow become one. It's more and more. Now the kingdom started. The return and restoration has started. Under the seventh seal, the whole thing starts. We're in it now. Both king and kingdoms here. But it hasn't gone far enough yet. See? Now, even thus it's going to be. Now it says, now, right on down, remember Lot's wife. Two in a bed. Two grinding. Two working. One taken. One left. Where? Where the eagles are gathered. In other words, at a certain time, under certain conditions. It will take place just exactly as we see in Malachi, as we see in all the scripture that dovetails with this end time ministry. We begin to see the tremendous ministry of the Elijah of this hour. It is what God has ordained, or his presence would bring nothing but death. Now could it be that the failure to recognize the bridegroom by the bride would have been enough to have brought death? For she must recognize him as headship and be a virgin of the word, or the marriage cannot take place. 2 Corinthians 11, the whale. Paul said, I'm worried over you, giving you the test of virginity that you're going to fail. You've been fooling with somebody. So therefore, she must be turned back to the revelation of God and God's ordained understanding by a prophet. In order to qualify in the last hour, because that's the way it took place. Now, I could say many, many things which would positively take a long, long time to say concerning more of this ministry. But I want to hit the third point, which is, let's try to see what this ministry, whose very epitome is to reveal Jehovah, what it will do for the bride, to be sure she is in the rapture. Now, this is what we're looking at. Okay? Okay. We'll begin with the scripture, and I don't want to take too long here either, which will make me very happy to finish earlier than I anticipated. We go, first of all, to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, which I've quoted you time and time again. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it hath never yet come into existence. In other words, this thing that we're looking for has never yet come, but it's going to come. What we shall be. The mystery that Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 15. But we know that when he shall be present, we shall be like him who is present, because we're going to see him as he is. I'll tell you something. John the Baptist stood back and saw God in the form of Jesus as he was, and nobody else could.
And those that believed the witness of John became the bride of Jesus Christ. They were identified. They were the many that were turned to God because they had turned from God. We could go into Malachi for that, but I'm not taking the time this morning. Took a little bit last week. All right. We will now explain the authoritative passage of John, who set forth the premise, the mechanics, the wherewithal of that particular change. Now, he said you're going to be changed to be like him because you're going to see him as he is. Evidently, there are those who don't see him as he is. We go to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. And we begin reading at verse 14 of the second chapter. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He said, thank God I've got the ability given by God to actually project the knowledge of God to the people I talk to. For we are unto God a sweet savor in Christ, of Christ, in whom? It's in them that are saved, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. Now he said, whether you're going to listen and live, or whether you're going to die or not, or whether we are, he said, I have been ordained by my knowledge to be a sweet savor of Christ. Present him who is the altogether lovely one, sweeter than honey. To the one we are savor, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For you're not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. This man said here, I have got an authenticated, identified ministry. So when I speak, I am the very savor of Almighty God to you. By my words, which is this, what God has decided for you, I am presenting, and it is a mighty sweet and wonderful thing. Here we begin to commend ourselves. He said, now am I puffed up? Do I have something to say about this? Or need we some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now he said, did I give this to somebody, or did someone give it to me? He said, you are our epistles written in our hearts and known and read of all men, forasmuch as ye are manifestly set forth, exegeted, to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us. I'm merely the one writing the letter. The letter writer is God himself, written not in even the spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. In other words, there is a change through the gospel that Paul preached. It is a spiritual change. Men and women born again, showing forth the worthy praise of Jesus Christ by a life that is sweet with the savor of Jesus, as Brother Branham brought out the virtue. And such trust have we through Christ the Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He said, I know that's the way it's got to be because I'm linked up with God. Who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Now, that's a good one right there. I'd like to see how a man without life can give life. Man without the Holy Ghost in this hour do something for anybody. Because you're at the end time. I ought to just plant on something. I'm going to preach on it sometime again, the Alpha and Omega. How that the first church could have had a rapture in the first age, but couldn't because the bride wasn't ready by means of numbers. Now, you go back when I preached on Romans 5, last summer, something should make a little ding-a-ling in your mind right now. Go back and get the tape. I'm going to take a whole bunch of sermons on. I might not preach them here. I'm going to preach them somewhere. All right. Because I don't know. That's what strikes me. On the road years ago, I preached all new sermons on the road. But time to start over again. Okay. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Now there's two schools of thought here. Brother Branham brought out one. That is, they couldn't stand to see the glory, which was of the law, which perished. Which is true. Let's keep reading. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be more glorious? Much more. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. There's something greater. Now, Paul's not talking of Paul in relation to Moses. He's talking in relation to Moses about us, to whom he's ministered the word. And those under the law were not like them. For if that which is to be done away was glorious,
much more that which remaineth is glorious. In other words, greater than ever. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Now he said, let's get this plan across the board. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now here's what other people say about this, and I like it. And that is, the veil was over the face of Moses because they didn't want to know when the glory faded, and it wasn't there anymore.
How many of us wanted to see Brother Branham die, too?
Veil was thrown over. We didn't know it was going to happen.
Well, let's find out about that glory that Brother Branham brought, the same that Paul brought.
Now, he said, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There had to come a halt. The law which was glorious must be fulfilled. Type must give way to anti-type. But now you're not anywhere in type. There's no type. You're living in a reality which cannot be abolished, which is greater than anything the world's ever seen. Now listen. Nevertheless, when it, that's the mind, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now listen. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. No more bondage. No more corruption of creeds and dogmas. We now have a spiritual resurrection. But we all, First Church Age couldn't have this. At the start of it. With open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image of Christ. From glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now it tells you right here, seeing that word which is his flesh, seeing him there, which is that revelation, will absolutely take and conform you to his own image. Because we're coming to it. That which started way back there, when Christ was raised to the Jews and shown. Now that he's been raised at this time, and speaking from the last time from heaven, remember, John said, he that is from heaven is above all, and there he stood. And he that speaketh from heaven, there he stood. It wasn't the speaking from heaven, it was the one who was from heaven. Now, we are the sons of God, it never yet happened, nor could it happen to the seventh church age. See, because it wasn't time for that glory. The first age had its glory, but it had to be cut off. The second age had his was cut off. Third, fourth, five, six. But in the seventh, the glory is not cut off because the glorious one is here. And when it says right here that the mind is no longer covered, and when it can see him, the true and the living God, that's the way Jesus had to treat Martha there at the graveside. Why, he said, you believe I am the resurrected life. When she said, I believe my brother rise again the last day, and he said, Martha, you're looking at the resurrection. Can you see it? I am the resurrection. That wasn't an answer. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall live. Whosoever believeth in me shall never perish. That's at the end time when they walk to the tree of life. You believe that? You believe you saw the resurrection? Him who is the resurrection, you believe you saw him who is God? It tells you here how you're going to see him. It tells you here how you're going to be changed. And the wonder, Brother Branham said, as John the first, as the angel said to him, as John the Baptist foreran the first coming, your message will forerun the second. Because there couldn't be a second coming unless his message foreran it. And that was the appearance of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right. We go now to 1 Samuel, the third chapter. We begin to understand exactly what I've been telling you all along, how this is done. Now, it says here that Samuel heard God speak, and he ran to Eli and said, Eli, you call me. Eli, I said, no, I haven't been calling you. It must have been the Lord say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So it says over here, God began to speak to Eli, to Samuel, and he told him all these things. And it said, the 14th verse, wherefore I sworn to the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. In other words, there's going to come a day when the offering, the sacrifice, doesn't do it.
That same day is at hand.
See? All right, now listen. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And listen, Samuel feared to show Eli the vision.
Now what did he see? He heard. It was called a vision. Therefore, when the prophet had a vision, came back and told us, we saw the same vision. When the prophet came back under the Holy Ghost and revealed Jesus Christ the Word, we saw him. I'll prove it.
And the Lord, in verse 21, the Lord appeared again. He'd already appeared up here. The vision of what God was going to do was God, because God does what He says. And He is the Word. Now listen, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the Word of the Lord. And when the Word of God, well, let me just give it to you. John 1:18. It tells you all these things about Him. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath exegeted Him, declared Him, fully led Him forth by word. You understand? No man seen God. William Branham didn't see God. He saw a pillar of fire where God was veiling it. The closest anybody came was Moses when God put him in a rock. And a rock, you know, keep away radiation. Put his hand up there. Moses saw the back of a man. Saw the incarnation. No man can see God in this. It is an unapproachable white light. Now, how are you going to see Him? Only through the Holy Spirit revealing Him by word. Now, you know that's the truth. Come on. First Corinthians, the second chapter. Paul telling these secrets to us. He said, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Ghost teaches. What's he talking about? Why, he said, no man knows the thing that's his, man that's in him. Even so the things of God doesn't man knows no. Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, God alone knows Himself, and God alone can reveal Himself. And how does He do it? He does it by word of the Holy Ghost. And holy men of God speak as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go back and see some more. Hebrews the 12th chapter, 25 to 29. See that you refuse not Him to speak yet. If they escape not, or refuse Him to spoke on earth. Why, they went into the many great tribulation. Titus came in 70 AD and killed them. Blood ran like water in the streets, and he turned into cannibals at Masada and places like that. Terrible. Now, and he also spake on the mount, of course, of Sinai. If we turn away and speak from heaven, notice, speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he is promised, saying, yet once more I shake not earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. Now what are things made of? By the word. Therefore every part of that word that is no longer in existence, that has been fulfilled, goes out, and everything with it. Show me where man gets a second chance after the fire of God. He doesn't. He goes to the white throne where he meets his sins, and he gets a judgment. And if he's of the children of Adam, but not in the election, he will be given eternal life. No second chance. Just go back and hear everything Brother Branham had to say. I said it all on the ones that are in between. I didn't know I said it that good till I heard Brother Branham. I think it was a tape of 61 question and answers. Brought up the very things right down the line. That's the first thing that shook everybody when they read the Church Age book. Leave, they have made a mistake. All the people that followed Brother Branham all those years, sat there all those years, yeah, Gene, all those years that followed him and thought that they knew what Brother Branham said. They had a tizzy in a Henry J. Green paint when they saw what was written in that Church Age book, and they couldn't believe it. But that's exactly what the prophet said. If you're ordained, if you're ordained. If you're not ordained, you won't get it. They sit around arguing. They sat in their hands the night they can't get off their hands and mess everybody up. This word once more signifies moving those things that are shaken as of things that are made, made by the word. That part fulfilled, all gone.
that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. To God's ordained eternal. The elect cannot be shaken. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God except with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. When is He a consuming fire? Only on that day. There's no consuming fire now. We consume the bride. When God speaks once more from heaven, the one from heaven is what it really speaks. He's down here, using a prophet. I mean, never read it yet. Now, I want you to know this is true. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say this that about myself because I was preaching this message. He who's attacking, so I preach, he who's preaching. I have no more to do with this message than nothing, no more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I didn't want to be the voice. He said I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father, so I'm stuck. Election, you can't get around it. You're not going to circumvent His will. If He wants you, He's going to get you. I declare to you, and I'm determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. And when did He appear? When did He come? 2 o'clock, July 25, 1965, hogwash. My, what junk comes out of Ohio? I'm getting out of here. You can stay if you want. I got out of Canada. That's so cracked up there, I might as well get out of here now, too. Whither shall I go? Well, I don't know. Might as well play ring around a rosy first one down. I wasn't the one. I was only standing when He appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things happen as perfect as God. I'm only one that's near when He does it. I was only a voice that He used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that He spoke to. What do you think of John the Baptist? Was he any different? No way. No more Elijah. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh messenger. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. That's beautiful. It's not a man. It's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ, Holy Spirit. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man's word, a man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body. He tells you what the body of Jesus Christ is today. The Word. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. He that believeth on the Son as like he believes not is condemned already. All right. Hebrews 1. Talking about that voice. God at sundry times, divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets. Hath these last days formed us in His Son, by whom He was appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Now listen. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He Himself purged of our sins, had by Himself purged of sins, sat down the right hand of Majesty on high. You know something? It says that Jesus is the express image of God, and we will be in His image. Then what image are we in? See? Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. Verse 1, you present your body, a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is a reasonable sacrifice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed, metamorphosed, caterpillar, butterfly, by the renewing of your mind. How do you get that change? This is the mind age. How is it done? By a renewal. What's the renewal? By the Holy Spirit. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians, third chapter. 20 to 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto the body of His glory, according to the working whereby He is able even to bring into order all things under Himself. Things are out of order, but they're coming into order. Why? Because the bride's getting in order. All creation is waiting for a bride to get in order. Let her get in order. There's going to be a resurrection and a rapture. She's getting in order. Don't worry. 1 Corinthians 15, 50-7 tells you how we put on immortality. It is by the same message. It is the last trump, which is the message of the seventh church age messenger. Revelation 22, 8-19 tells you the same thing. Where it says, I fell at His feet to worship. The angel that showed me these things said, don't do it. I'm just a prophet like the brethren. Then in verse 10, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand.
A prophet opens the book at the end time and it cannot be sealed. And at that time the seals are broken. He that is unjust still. He that filthy is filthy still. He righteous is righteous still. That lets you know the great tribulation is right at hand and the bride escapes it. And the day of wrath is at hand. Behold, I come quickly. I'm Alpha and Omega. Blessed are they that wash their robes, not to do his commandments. That's a complete mistranslation. Wash robes, they may have the right to the tree of life. In other words, immortality, the guard is down. God is here himself to bring a bride right to the tree of life, and she'll be standing there all smiles and all glory, all so happy, all so perfect, and change their very members. Oh, listen, sin does not have dominion any longer. No, sir. You talk about glory. The law couldn't do it. But the continuing revelation and the manifestation of God manifesting his word brings it to pass. And they that see that word manifested know and they say, that's it. They don't have a problem. Don't anybody shake you. You haven't begun to get shaken yet. Don't worry. You think you had a little shaken now. You just missed it a million miles. No squeeze come down. I'm getting myself fortified. I don't know about you. I'm not going to tell you certain things because how I do it. Forget it. You do joy. I'm just too mean. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to close and using the verse of scripture here. I did real fast this morning. Talk real hard. Tapes loaded with goodies. Hopefully. If I'm wrong, they're baddies. And I don't believe it. I'm not afraid to stand the judgment what I preach today. Revelation, Zechariah, chapter 4. And the angel talked with me, came again, and waked at me as a man, is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl on top of it, and seven lamps thereof, and seven pipes of seven lamps, which are on the top thereof. That's what John saw in Revelation. And two olive trees stand by, one on the right side, one on the left side. That's Old New Testament, or the Old New Testament bride. Sure, same thing. There are the two witnesses. Go ahead, call it what you want. I think Brother Branham called all three. So I answered, spake to the angel, said to me, Lord, what are these things? My Lord, and the angel talked to me and said, don't you know what they are? And I said, no, I don't. And he said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel, I guess how you pronounce it. That word means called out of Babylon. See? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Now a mountain is a place of authority, and remember, the whore is on a mountain and she's on many waters. The waters signify people, the mountain signifies power. She's on seven mountains. Seven church ages. She put them through the rope. She's a stinking mess. She was way back there in the first church age even, under the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But you can't crown a spirit. The spirit was there. See, seven ages. Seven mighty powers. There she stands right to the end. Now, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a prince. Well, you can throw that at John the Baptist if you want. He also brought the mountains down. And he shall bring forth the headstone with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now you notice this cannot be in the days of the Zerubbabel who was there at the time of Nehemiah. No way. Because it goes right to the very end where the headstone comes forth. And remember, Jesus was not recognized as the headstone when he's here on earth. He can only be the headstone at the end time when he becomes head of the bride, both Old and New Testament. King of kings and Lord of lords, crowned by the saints. No way. This is to come, so therefore this is indicative of the end time, when the headstone is brought forth. And the headstone is brought forth when both the Old and New Testament churches or brides come to a fruition, a fullness, because the times of the Gentiles must be fulfilled the same as the times of Israel. Now there's only 144,000 to go for Israel. And they do not qualify in bride in any place. They qualify as the temple eunuchs or the virgins which take care of the virgin queen of the groom. But they are part of the first resurrection for 1,000 years. But they do not qualify. Now notice, grace, grace is shouted. That's what we're talking about. See? When the high places are made low, when all powers must stand still and recognize that the prophet William Branham, in manifesting God, has something that nobody else or altogether ever has. The only man to stand there and say, challenger, bring me your worst case, I'll guarantee you. The man that could stand there and say, I challenge you. God told me to raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead tomorrow morning. Challenge the armies here to come and shoot me down. I'd raise him. You talk about a man talking. Now, he's got to be a complete idiot or he's got to have a complete something from God. Well, he had it from God, that's faith. Now listen, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall finish it. Now that could do with an earthly temple. But that can't bring forth the headstone. See? Because the temple is the temple that man made did not bring forth Jesus. He condemned the temple. He came forth of the Virgin Mary into the human race, and he was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was the Son of God and human flesh. God and human flesh. Now listen. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the promise in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven who are the eyes of the Lord which run in true forth of the earth. What are those eyes of the Lord? Seven spirits of God. When did they come? They came when William Branham was out there in the district. And he came back with the plummet, which is the bob of measurement, the word of God. And that gave the bride everything she needed to put in her rapture, for he revealed Christ, who turned out to be those seven seals. Revelation 10:1-7 became the seventh seal in person. In continuity. So, Brother Dale, Brother and Sister, let me just say this. I'm going to close off. Was there Elijah ministry? There most certainly was. What was it supposed to do? Reveal Christ. Why reveal Christ? Because without the revelation, there won't be one person changed. There won't be one person come out of the grave. There won't be any grace. But as old Malachi said, remember the law of Moses. Deuteronomy, given twice. The word given twice. As Bunyan said, the first time it was law, law, death, death. But the second time, it was grace, grace, and life, life. Today we are in the hour of life from the dead, and we know we are because it has been vindicated and proven at this very hour. Now I know people aren't going to believe this. I didn't preach this morning to convince anybody. I preached in order to teach and to help you see things which you haven't seen previously, or to simplify and confirm a faith which you already have, lest the devil should come and try to pluck it from you, because he's going to do his dead level best. But I'm going to tell you about this. You just come to this place where you know this one thing. If this isn't it, forget it. Because you ain't going no place. You weren't smart enough to get out of it. Somebody had to get you out. You were stupid enough to get into it. Then you better be smart enough to have gotten out of it by somebody helping you, and by the grace of God breathing, you are now into what you're supposed to be into, because this is the end. I look very soon to see America produce the Antichrist. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I am of the opinion, and I'm not setting dates, but I am of the opinion that within the next year and a half, it'll be all over, except for the rapture. I don't know. That is my opinion. I got nothing from God. When I get things from God, I tell you, this is not from God. This is simply my own thinking that this could be the 1 year and a half to go. Because I believe everything is propitious to a wind-up. In the light of Wall Street in 1929, overnight, the world was wiped out. Anything can happen by tomorrow morning. To put us in the hands of that one who will be called the Prince of Peace, who attempts to bring on a world system where the beast heads it up. It isn't hard. See? Understand they have a great big computer. This could be just a bunch of hogwash. I don't know, because you never know what's in the papers, true or not. But they tell me there's a huge war machine they use in its computations. And they had a mock warfare recently, and they put in information, and they couldn't get it out. It couldn't handle the new information. It took 12 solid hours to find how to get it out, and by that time the country would have been gone. They had no way to bring in ammunition, because they'd expended the ammunition in Europe and sent it to Vietnam and other places. They didn't have the tanks, they didn't have the men, they didn't have anything, and I think Gene understands the dumb. I won't look him in the eyes where they have to be, because he's put them under military secrets or something, he can keep them. I won't even look at him. But I kind of believe that the fellow that wrote that up knew what he was talking about. See? That there's no place to go except the whole world needs somebody to rise up and attempt to no longer solve a local problem, but a universal problem. And that's where Antichrist comes in. America can't solve a problem. I'm very happy with Mr. Reagan. Very happy. Even if he doesn't do anything, I'm still happy. Because he suits my kind of thinking. A little square, a little conservative. That's good, I hope. I don't know what he's going to do. But I know if we get restless, it isn't going to last. See? So here we are. Look, there's this about it. The bride is not going to see the great tribulation. The bride is seeing him in whose presence she is to lie and rest. Now, how can anybody lie in that presence without the recognition of that presence? How can anybody be in a rapture wherein this word is not unveiling itself more and more to the perfect day? So this is why that ministry is there. Not 1 o'clock. I didn't set my watch back, so I got a few minutes before 12:45. As I say, this is the tragic part of this kind of preaching. I can just preach in this 4 or 5 hours. You know, just bringing in all these things that are in Scripture here. Now, I wouldn't dare to do it without my notes because if my mind begins playing tricks on me, there's no way I can help you. And God illuminates my mind like He does sometimes, and away we go. It's just no problem at all. Isn't it? Ephesians 4. But unto every one of us is given grace according... Well, I better read the first part. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope you're called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, do you realize that that was said in the first church age? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captive, he came and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it but he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, it tells you, the one that came here, died, and rose again, came back as the Holy Ghost. Now, you notice Paul said, this one who is God took on the form of Jesus, died, rose, came back, that same Spirit that was in Jesus. Above all, through all, and in all. Well, that's a pretty strong statement. Like we would say today, God above you, God with you, God in you. Okay, but everyone is given a gift. Now, here's what I'm looking at. I've never looked at this before until just last night in my mind. I began looking at it. And my mind began to say, if Alpha is Omega, then the same one that came down to divide himself amongst the people like the sperm of the male, that same one was there in total until this word was given. When that word was given, he would not have to be in the midst of the church past the first church age. Now look what he did when he was here. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. A fivefold ministry. Now, he set them in the church. Paul the Apostle, explaining it, said, and God has set some in the church. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Now then notice, he leaves the fivefold and he goes toward gifts. But over here where he does not talk about gifts set in the church, because gifts can't do this, perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, to build up. Till we all come in unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ, and henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Children? Children back to the fathers are no longer children. You're adults. See?
No longer tossed to and fro by wind of doctrine, sleight of men, cunning practice, whereby the lying way to deceive, but holding the truth in love, grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom that whole body came together. And I submit to you that when he set the church in order the first time, he was here. And when he set the church in order the last time, he was here, and he is here. And there'll be no more moving. There'll be no more little babies. Because Melchizedek has appeared at the time of the full age. See? And beholding him, seeing him. And you know how you see him. You see, I never had a vision of Jesus. I have. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you, and I'm not standing here boasting. I had a bad year this year where my mental capacity could have almost been taken from me entirely. But never has he been so clear in my vision at any time in my life. Because I know him as one God, and the glory, and the inheritance, I'll preach on it sometime, hopefully, is I have never known. I don't know about you, look, I cannot speak for you. And I'm not separating. I'm trying to encourage you, I'm showing you what I am seeing. And if you cease, you are seeing him, and you will be changed. Not because of evil. No, I have a gift, I know that. Someday I'll be very glad to be dead to get rid of it. No, I'm not being bitter or sarcastic, I'm just being truthful. The prophet said that would happen, so I believe it. If you understand it, if you want it. I'm not a pastor. Let's get this straight. If I went back to teaching you pastoral subjects, I could warm your heart, and I could warm my heart, and feel very good about it. But it will never do what seeing him in this word will do. Because for 5 ages in between 1 and 2, we have had the distorted vision that brought forth fine, wonderful people. It brought forth character. It brought forth power. But Brother Branham said, that's not what this is doing. It's not doing it. And it won't do it. He said, for many years now, we've seen the Word of God demonstrated in power, but we've not seen it demonstrated or manifested in His revelation. That is coming now from the inside to the out. For one day, a people who feels the least worthy will one day walk to a tree of life. The Elijah ministry, I've talked about it, tried to place it, and tried to show you. Hopefully, we have accomplished what we set out to do, and so let us rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for mercy and grace which has been given unto us, Lord, and we realize that it's exactly right what Zechariah said, what the angel said to him. That one scattered in Babylon, that one who had his own vision to prove it, that his mother, though it wasn't his mother, was the organized church, and his father, though it wasn't his father, was the denomination. Domination beating down the woman. But there was a bride to come out of her. In days of grace, Lord, which we have now that are not at hand, but are here in the hand, to bring forth a bride, who by continuously seeing him in that word shall be changed into his glory, which is the image and the glory of the Father. Now, Lord, I'm willing to believe that in this mechanical sense and in a spiritual sense. For I have accepted and do accept and will continue to accept that this is exactly right. That this is that true understanding, the true thing that is in that word, that was to happen and is now happening and shall continue to happen until it has all happened. And I stand with it, Lord, and say with the prophet once more, if we're not bright, there's a bright out there somewhere. And by the grace of God, we won't stand in the way, but we will stand back and rejoice and say, great is our God. But Lord, in the meantime, we have thoughts of grace toward us, that we can count ourselves with those who have gone ahead,
and part of the prophet's children. Because we are all these Branhams, yep, in a limited sense of the word, because there was that seed to bring them forth by divine impartation. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we know today of your grace and goodness, what we thrill to, what we experience, what we love and continue to hope for, until one day, Lord, earnest expectation shall turn into living reality. And then what a man seeth, he will no longer hope for. And unto the King eternal and immortal, this will the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing that song, Oh How I Love Jesus, because that is what it's all about. Brother Van said it's in Jesus all the time. Somebody start up. Who's in voice? The teacher, I'm the one that's going to unveil Christ to you, and you won't get any other way. That's not what I said. I said, I have to teach the way I teach. And if I were simply to go back to shepherd a people, which is not my work, I'd be placing, as it were, a ministry that God given me under the ages 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. When the ministry He has given me is according to the book of Revelation, the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony to Jesus Christ, which foreruns the going to the tree of life. Now, I've told you that before, what the prophet told me. And if I were to speak on the things which pertain then therefore exclusively to the production of character, it wouldn't answer the bill. If I were to speak on those things pertaining to that which would bring forth a manifestation of gift, it won't answer the question. It lies in the understanding, and every pastor and everybody has the same opportunity. We're under a different age entirely. Is to take what the prophet said, and I having a gift of being able to take what he said to the word and laying out here verse by verse, then therefore, what I'm trying to tell you is this, that this is the way I preach and must preach. And you perhaps will not realize the benefit that you feel that you might get by someone, especially if, and I have done it and can do it, to so present the Word of God is to make you feel in another realm and dimension. That is fine, but it will never do what the prophet message did, which is to reveal Christ. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because my Lord, these days you can be so misunderstood. And it is so easy because we don't even understand ourselves. I guess that's it. All right. Let's sing then, Take the Name of Jesus with You.